It's time for a solid hour of business insights and strategies for success on Mind Your Business. And here's your host, the president and founder of Bottom Line Marketing, Yitzhak Saflis.
You're tuned to another edition of Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here at 77 WABC in the New York, New Jersey metro area and worldwide at WABCbizradio.com and, of course, on the 77 WABC app. This radio show weekly at 10 p.m. on Sunday nights on the legendary 77 WABC is all about you. Every single week, we seek out and interview C-level executives and business leaders from all types of industries and ask them the questions that are on your mind. Gain business advice and strategies on so many professions and business categories, including sales, social media, corporate culture, leadership, strategic planning, entrepreneurship, financial planning, time management, customer retention, and so much more. Stay tuned for tonight's edition of Mind Your Business, where you'll gain solid business advice and strategies to get you ahead in today's business world. Well, as we do each week, we open with some thank yous. Special thank you to Pesach Trapper, the show's producer, who's joining me here for the interview, a very exciting interview this evening. Of course, Rena, Srilly, Miriam, Ellie, Dina, thank you, and the entire team here at Bottom Line, thank you. And to the great folks at 77 WABC, Jose, Matt, Chris, Brian, Justin, thank you. And a special mention to the various channels that Mind Your Business is syndicated on. Mishpacha Magazine, the monthly Take 5 column, they cover the recent guest, amazing guest that we had, John Sculley, the former CEO of Apple and Pepsi. Special thank you to them and subscribers of Mishpacha. Get it, or you can pick it up on your newsstand. Of course, we're on C-Suite Radio, Audio Boom, iTunes. We have a special YouTube channel, C-Suite TV. All the episodes are up at WABCbizradio.com. And there you could pick up just a rundown of some recent guests. John Sculley, former CEO of Apple and Pepsi. What an amazing thing he talked about, starting off as a truck driver at Pepsi and working his way up to CEO. Joe Hart, the president and CEO of Dale Carnegie. Shep Hyken, Paul Massey, Cushman & Wakefield. He's running for mayor of New York. Steven Sadov, former CEO of Saks Fifth Avenue. And so many other great guests. They're all available by going to WABCbizradio.com. Well, without further ado, my guests this evening are none other. Sit tight, folks. Neil Blumenthal and Dave Gilboa, the co-founders of Warby Parker. Some background about a very distinguished guest. Neil, Dave, and two other buddies started Warby Parker, a uniquely affordable and trendy eyewear company, in case you're living under a rock somewhere, back when they were in Wharton Business School. Upon Warby Parker's launch in 2010, they sold out of their stock immediately, and within a short period of time, we'll hear more about it, they had a wait list of 20,000 people. And of course, they have become one of the world's leading eyewear companies. Therefore, we encourage you to stay tuned for tonight's edition of Mind Your Business, where we will discuss why customer satisfaction should be your number one priority, the importance of a positive corporate culture and how to build it, and staying ahead of the curve in the ever-changing business world. With that intro, we give a very warm welcome Neil Blumenthal and David Gilboa. How are you?
We're great and very excited to be on.
Thank you so much. What a treat. Well, let's just start off. I mean, you're in Wharton and you have this aha moment. Tell us about it. What happened? What's your story?
Yeah, so we really started Warby Parker to solve our own problem. So Neil and I and our two other co-founders, Jeff and Andy, we were classmates at Wharton and friends first. And we each had that frustrating experience where we lost a pair of glasses or broke a pair of glasses and couldn't understand why they were so expensive or were frustrated by the experience of walking into an optical shop and feeling like we overpaid. Mm-hmm. And right, the technology behind a pair of glasses is 800 years old. It didn't make any sense to us that glasses should cost more than an iPhone or an iPad. And so we started looking into the industry, realized that most glasses in the U.S. are marked up 10 to 20 times what they cost to manufacture. And at the same time, no one was effectively selling glasses online. And so we thought there was this huge opportunity to create a vertically integrated brand where we design the glasses ourselves, cut out all the middlemen, all the unnecessary licensing fees, sell them directly to consumers through warbyparker.com, and now through our own retail stores, where we could offer glasses that normally cost $500 or more for less than $100. And we were also intrigued by the idea that we could create a for-profit business that does good in the world. And so for every pair of glasses we sell, we also distribute a pair to someone in need.
Yeah, and we're going to get more to that. Of course, that's part of the questions that we curated for the interview. Now, again, you're back at Wharton. I mean, are there any tips for someone that has a dream? How did they come up with the capital? I mean, it's great. You had this idea, you had the moment, but any advice on that? How someone could like just, wow, okay, but now the funding.
Yeah, well, I think when Dave, Jeff, Andy, and I were thinking about this idea, there's this preconceived notion of entrepreneurs that they have the light bulb go off, and then tomorrow they drop everything that they're doing. They drop out of school, they quit their job, and they invest all their life savings into the business. And I'll tell you, that's not what we did. And we actually think that's probably a bad idea, even though it's glorified so much. We did have the light bulbs go off, and it was super exciting. But what we started to do is spend a lot of time thinking about what's the current customer experience for buying glasses. We went into optical shops. We surveyed our friends, and we started to build a business plan. We worked on the business for a year and a half before we actually launched. By spending that time to develop the brand architecture, to figure out our financial model, to figure out our business strategy, what we were going to price the glasses at, that enabled us to really figure out what we were going to spend money on. And when you're starting a business, you want to invest as little time and capital into the idea before you get feedback. And we finally, after working on this, had enough conviction that it was time to try and sell glasses online. And what were the three things that we needed to do that? It was glasses. So we designed a collection and we produced them. So we had our inventory. We had to sell those glasses through some medium. So we built a website, and we had to let people know that we existed. So we hired a PR firm to work with us to help promote Warby Parker. And we were able to start Warby Parker with $120,000. And it was our own money, money that we had saved while working before we went to Wharton.
Wow. Now, there was one comment you mentioned in that answer, which is also so precious and so beautiful for, you know, inspiring someone that has a dream to execute a business. You worked on the model for a year and a half. You know, people think they're like, okay, you snapped your fingers and voila, you're making $1 million. A year and a half.
Yeah, I think there's this concept of companies become an overnight success, but in most cases there are years of hard work and a lot of thought and learnings that happen before that overnight moment happens, and that was certainly the case for us.
Wow. Now, talking with someone who's a disruptor in the industry, as yourselves, we had a guest from, we had a general manager at Uber, we had a senior person at Zappos. I mean, Warby Parker is the definition of a disruptor in the industry. How did you manage to, I mean, again, you touched on this a little bit, but talk about the satisfaction of being a disruptor in an industry.
I think what got us excited was, again, us thinking of ourselves as consumers, and we didn't love paying $300, $400, $500, $600, $700 for a pair of glasses, right? It's crazy that glasses are as expensive as an iPhone. So I think what brings us joy every day is knowing that our customers are saving a lot of money. It's easier and faster for them to shop with us. And of course, that we're providing glasses to people in need, and we've now distributed several million pairs to people around the world and here in New York City. So that gets us really excited. And the way that we did this was really, again, spending time understanding who makes money in the value chain of glasses, right? There are people that design the glasses. There are people that manufacture them. Then they're typically sold wholesale to retailers. Retailers mark up those frames and lenses 3 to 5 times what they cost. before the consumer buys it. So our thought was, what if we designed the frames ourselves, produced them, and then sold direct to customers? All that retail markup we could just give to them. So cutting out the middleman was our strategy, and the internet allowed us, by building warbyparker.com, to go direct to our customers. And the other advantage is that because we've developed our own brand, Warby Parker, we weren't going to have to pay licensing fees. So, you know, the dirty little secret in the optical industry is that when you buy that pair of Nike glasses or Calvin Klein or Chanel or Ralph Lauren, those brands aren't designing and manufacturing those glasses. It's another company that's then paying a licensing fee to those brands. So because we design our own product and sell it direct to customers under our own brand, we don't have to pay any licensing fees. So the customer saves there as well.
Now, you touched on this earlier, but just this is a fascinating concept, the vertically integrated brand. Maybe you could just explain that for the audience.
Sure. So by vertically integrated, we mean that we're designing the products ourselves, selling them under our own brand name directly to the end consumer. And so we're not wholesaling our products through traditional retail channels where historically, most brands sold their products at wholesale to completely separate retail chains where you could walk into a department store or a typical clothing store or supermarket, and you'd see a whole host of brands there. And as a result, because we don't have that that middleman, we're able to take basically the wholesale price and offer that directly to our end customers. And as a result, we're able to dramatically bring down the price of glasses. And historically, if you wanted to create a brand of eyewear, you had to sell through traditional channels. To get any sort of distribution, you had to be in stores like Lens Crafters, Sunglass Hut, Pearle Vision. For the first time, because of e-commerce, we were able to create our own brand, design the products that that we loved, using the highest quality materials, highest quality production lines in the world, and sell them directly to customers, so bypassing these wholesale channels. And as a result, we're able to bring down the price from several hundred dollars to less than $100, including prescription lenses.
Wow, wow. Hey, it's Pesach chiming in here now. When we were researching about the brand before this interview, and we stumbled upon something that I seemed to have happened in the early stages when you were looking for feedback, and it was called the hot seat. Can you explain to us what the hot seat was or is?
So I laughed because we started this business. There were four of us, close friends, and we made each other a promise that, we wanted to be friends, not just at the beginning of this journey, but at the end. And we had known so many smart, dynamic people that were friends, started business together, and then became enemies. So we wanted to find a way to preserve our friendship, and we knew that just paying lip service wasn't going to be enough. So what Jeff, Andy, Dave, and I would do is on a monthly basis, we'd go back to the bar that we sat and had our first beer at and decided we were going to launch Warby Parker. We went back to that bar we would have a conversation, and we put each one of us in the hot seat and say, hey, you're doing this well. This could be improved. When you shoot me a 10-page email at 1 in the morning, I want to reach through the computer screen and strangle you. What this did was it allowed us to have a conversation and provide feedback to each other, and allowed any of the small frustrations that emerge when you're working in an intense environment, as starting a business is incredibly intense. It allowed us to surface those issues and talk through them before they blew up and became big issues and could potentially be, friend-ending problems. So this culture of feedback was something that we tried to nurture from the very beginning, and it's core to Warby Parker, and it's core to us being a company that enables our employees to learn and grow because we're giving them the feedback in order to do that.
such a great story. I think I'd it's probably great recommended advice for marriages, no?
Exactly.
Now, here's another question about having a company with dual CEOs. You know, we know in a house, you know, the kid wants something, he wants candy, he goes to mommy, mommy says no. So he's, okay, I'll go to daddy and maybe I'll get it. How are you able to address that within a company that the size of yours to say, okay, you know, there, yes, there are a couple of people at the helm, but we stand shoulder to shoulder?
Yeah, so this also really goes back to kind of how we started the company. There were four of us. Who were all equal partners. We didn't have any titles or hierarchy. And as we really put together the foundation for the brand and the business for the year and a half until we launched, we operated as equal partners. And after we launched and Neil and I stayed on to run the business day to day, all four of us are still on the board. But we talked about kind of different structures that could make sense. And realized that it's somewhat unorthodox, although there are a number of big successful companies that have a dual leadership structure. Realized that we thought of ourselves as partners, and regardless of kind of what titles we used, we wanted to maintain that structure that had gotten us to launch and I think had forced us to be really thoughtful and deliberate about every key decision, but we wanted to make sure that it wasn't confusing to team members. And so we split up kind of departments. So every department in the company only rolls up into one of us. It enables us to divide and conquer. But in practice, we operate more as kind of a Venn diagram where if there's a major decision about a part of the business that reports to me, Neil's still providing input and very much involved in helping to make that decision and vice versa. And so we have a very fluid kind of partnership structure. And I think it has worked extremely well to date. And we're in constant communication and generally on the same page. It doesn't mean that we don't see kind of different sides of issues and feel comfortable debating different issues, but we're generally very much aligned around the strategic direction of the company.
My guests this evening, none other than Neil Blumenthal and David Gilboa, the founders, along with Andy Hunt and Jeff Rader, but the founders of Warby Parker. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Since 1848, the quality of Herzog wines has been appreciated by royalty as well as those who aspire to it. Located in its state-of-the-art winery in Oxnard, California, the Herzog family produces a wide range of wines combining old-world value and new-world technology. These wines have made Herzog Wine Cellars the most award-winning kosher winery in the world.
Hi, this is Yitzchak Saftlis of Mind Your Business. Well, I'm happy to announce that recently Mind Your Business joined C-Suite TV. Well, are you looking for some great business content other than right here on this show? Then check out C-Suite TV and watch in-depth interviews and business content for C-level executives and entrepreneurs. Watch and get insider secrets on demand by going to csuitetv.com. Again, that's csuitetv.com. C-Suite TV, business insights on demand.
Your company website is crucial to your success, providing information about your company to the entire world. Was your website recently updated? Is it mobile friendly? Well, look no further than WebsiteWithBrains.com, the complete website solution. Call Website with Brains today at 718-412-3500. That's 718-412-3500. Or visit WebsiteWithBrains.com. The experienced team at Website with Brains will plan, write, design, and program a stunning and informative website that combines simplicity and flexibility. Get ready to look great online and take your business to the next level. Call Website with Brains today at 718-412-3500. That's 718-412-3500.
Hey And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saftless right here on 77 WABC. And, of course, around the world on the 77 WABC app and at WABCBizRadio.com. My guest this evening, the founders of Warby Parker, Neil Blumenthal and Dave Gilboa. They had two other ones. They discussed the story. Andy Hunt, Jeff Rader. In case you're just tuning in now, no worries. The Tuesday following the airing of the show, this episode, this amazing episode, will be up at WABCBizRadio.com, WABCBizRadio.com. Well, jumping back in, let's talk about the launch of Warby Parker. You're there in Wharton, and it's a crazy story. I mean, you're getting customer service calls. You got to go to class. What happens?
You know, those early days were crazy. We were featured in Vogue and GQ. The company took off like a rocket ship, right? We hit our first year sales targets in 3 weeks, sold out of our top 15,000 in 4 weeks, had a wait list of over 20,000 people. We spent those, you know, first weeks and months responding to every single email that came in. When we ran out of inventory, we profusely apologized and explained we're a startup. We're, you know, got off to a much faster start than we envisioned, and then we're just deeply, deeply sorry. You know, fast forward, right? We now have about 1,200 employees. We have 51 stores. We just opened our first optical lab, which is a light manufacturing facility, about an hour outside of the city in Sloatsburg, New York, in Rockland County, where we're cutting the lenses and inserting them into the frames. And it's just been this wild journey that we've been able to scale with while maintaining a great customer experience.
Wow. So I've actually been a major fan of Warby for quite some time. And I remember, you know, when I was introduced to Warby Parker, there was a showroom. It was primarily online. There was a showroom. It was in your office. Like, I remember going upstairs or something, and there's a little showroom. But it seems like, you know, now, you know, you just mentioned you rolled out 51 stores. So we're just curious, what was the decision to incorporate brick and mortar into the model?
It's really been an evolution by listening to our customers. So after we had that onslaught of demand early on, or stocked out of our home try-on program, we started getting calls from strangers all around Philly, where we were based at the time, asking if they could try on the frames at our store or our office. And we said, well, the store is my apartment, but come on over. And we had you know, strangers come in, and we laid out the glasses on our dining room tables. And we found that customers loved that experience. They loved being able to try on the entire collection. They loved getting to meet the people behind the brand. And we found that we learned so much from those face-to-face interactions that and feedback around the product and what customers were looking for that we weren't able to get through purely digital experiences. And so that was a joke. That was kind of our first foray into physical retail. And then we graduated and moved the business to New York, dedicated a couple hundred square feet of our office to a customer showroom. All of a sudden, we're getting hundreds of customers a day into that showroom. We did a couple pop-up shops here in New York. We bought an old yellow school bus that we gutted and turned the interior into a store and had that bus drive around the country, setting up pop-up shops for 2 to 4 weeks in a number of different cities across the country. We found that anytime we had a physical environment for customers to engage with, that they loved the experience. It drove a lot of sales, and we had a lot of learnings for our business. And so that gave us the confidence to open our first real proper store in Soho on Prince and Green, across the street from the Apple Store, next to Ralph Lauren. And we've been blown away just by the response we've gotten from customers, both in terms of customer satisfaction, but also the economics, both in terms of driving top-line sales and profitability for the business. And so now we have over 50 stores. We'll open around 25 this year. While our e-commerce business continues to grow quickly, and we're still very bullish on e-commerce as a channel, we want to give customers choice and want to create great experiences both online and offline. and are finding that most of our customers, if they have a choice, want to engage with us through multiple channels. And so 75% of people that buy something in our store have been to our website first. Wow. We've really focused on delivering a great integrated experience regardless of where customers want to shop with us.
Now, I mean, it leads me to my next question to talk a little bit more about the customer experience. But before I do that, am I allowed to ask whose brilliant idea was that with the gutted school bus?
Jeff Rader would always talk about, hey, we need to all jump in a van and go cross country and go from, you know, college town to college town or city to city to market Warby Parker. I guess he gets credit. We also worked with this amazing creative agency Partners in Spade create the Warby Parker class trip is what we called it, and to identify the guy who designs the interiors of yachts and high-end motor coaches to help bring this to life.
Amazing. Amazing. Now, of course, Warby Parker is known for its for the customer experience, and so much so that it seems to come ahead of what every business is grounded in, and that is sales, ROI. Is that a risky move? That someone should be so obsessed on the customer experience and then worry about the profits afterwards?
You know, we've always believed that if you make customers happy, if you deliver value, that's what a business is. Obviously you need to figure out how to do so in a profitable way. But that's got to be the reason for being. We wanted to create better customer experiences because our own experience buying glasses was not enjoyable. And we thought that bringing down the price of a pair of glasses to $95 with prescription lenses with anti-reflective coatings was the way to do that. And we knew that in order to get people sort of comfortable buying glasses online, we had to stand behind our product. We had to offer free shipping and free returns, right? Because this was a new brand, a new way of shopping. And people didn't know us. They didn't know that our quality was, you know, top notch. And these were all signals that we were sending to the market. It was also just followed the basic premise of our own sort of philosophy, which is that you should treat others the way you want to be treated.
Right.
And as consumers, we don't like paying for shipping. And if something doesn't work, we want to be able to return it. So we just baked all that into our financial model. And one of the companies that we looked at, there were a bunch of different companies that we wanted to emulate different things from those companies. So like Patagonia, right, has an amazing commitment to the environment and to its employees. Zappos, right, known for great customer service. They also have offered free shipping and free returns. But we had heard that Zappos had really high return rates, like 40%. Mm. And we knew that if we had return rates that high, our business would not be financially viable. And that's because with glasses, right, every pair is a custom order, right? We get your prescription, we get a measurement called pupillary distance, and we cut each lens and put it into your glasses. And if you return that, we have to pop out the lenses and basically throw them in the garbage because the likelihood that somebody has the same frame with the same prescription in each eye with the same pupillary distance.
Remote,
right?
Yeah.
Just, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
And it was sort of these moments of doubt of, would people buy glasses? Would our return rates be too high? That we came up with this idea for a home try-on program. Mm-hmm. Where we would ship people five pairs of glasses, they'd have 5 days to try it on at home. And that was sort of one of those aha moments, because when you're building a business, right, there's these moments where you feel like a genius and moments where you feel like a bumbling buffoon. This idea for home try-on just sort of clicked, that this would really remove barriers to purchase, help make the business financially viable, and sure enough, it did. And when we launched and we were featured in Vogue and GQ, GQ called us the Netflix of eyewear because of our home try-on program, which is really novel thing. So it was one of those things that just checked off all the boxes. It was good for customers. It was interesting and new that people wanted to talk about, and you know, helped the economics of the business.
Folks, as you've come to expect here on Mind Your Business, after through the nearly 2 years that we've been on the air, every single week we have incredible guests, and this week is absolutely no different. Neil Blumenthal, David Gilboa, the co-founders of Warby Parker, are my guests. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Are you applying for Medicaid and need assistance? Are you thinking about putting a loved one in a nursing home and require guidance? Call Senior Planning Services at 516-500-SENIORS or visit senior-planning.com to get the help you need by the professionals you trust. Their expert advice will save you money, time, and frustration. Call 516-500-7364 or visit senior-planning.com. Applying for Medicaid is made simple with Senior Planning Services. Call 516-500-7364. 500-SENIORS. That's 516-500-7364. Or visit senior-planning.com for a free consultation.
Did you know that dissatisfied employees cost American businesses over $300 billion each year? Now there's a solution. TeamAhead.co. TeamAhead is a complete solution to help companies of all sizes build a positive corporate culture. TeamAhead helps today's thought leaders make their vision a legacy. Team Ahead's comprehensive approach helps you communicate your vision and engage your employees through many channels, including print, digital, sweepstakes, video, events, social media, and a custom website. Call 800-890-1807, extension 3505 to find out how Team Ahead can transform your business's corporate culture, leading to greater productivity and revenue. Call toll-free 800-890-1807, extension 3505, or visit teamahead.co. Team Ahead will enhance your workplace productivity, boost morale, and successfully communicate your vision. Don't let your company's strongest asset be its biggest liability. Call toll-free 800-890-1807, extension 3505, or visit teamahead.co to fuel your winning workplace today.
Since 1848, the quality of Herzog wines has been appreciated by royalty as well as those who aspire to it. Located in its state-of-the-art winery in Oxnard, California, the Herzog family produces a wide range of wines combining old-world value and new-world technology. These wines have made Herzog Wine Cellars the most award-winning kosher winery in the world.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saftless right here on 77 WABC and around the world at WABCBizRadio.com. My guests this evening are none other than the co-founders of Warby Parker. How do you like that? Neil Blumenthal and David Gilboa joining me here, taking up their very precious time. Thank you very much. Well, you have a great story. This one is for Neil. You went to India to sell glasses. What happened?
Well, there's this super dynamic eye doctor here in New York named Dr. Jordan Castelow, and my family friend introduced me to him. He had this idea to train low-income women in the developing world to start their own businesses, giving simple vision tests and selling glasses in their communities. And I thought, like, wow, this is just such a powerful idea. I mean, the first thing that he told me was that there are close to 1 billion people on Earth that need glasses but don't have access to them. And I thought, it's so crazy. Why, 800 years since glasses were invented, are there still so many human beings that don't have the glasses that they need? And you can imagine what that does to somebody if they're in school, how that impedes their ability to learn, if they're working, right? How can you lead sort of a productive life if you can't see? And the simple solution is just a pair of glasses. So I got really excited about this idea about training people to start their own businesses right in these communities where people are living on less than $4 a day, where they would provide glasses Originally I moved to El Salvador to work on this program, and then to India to help expand it. And it turns out selling glasses, even as a nonprofit, to people living on less than $4 a day is really hard, even if you price it incredibly inexpensively. And that's because you're introducing a new product. And we would face challenges, like if we went to a village in rural India and we were training somebody there to distribute the glasses, sometimes their neighbors would say, "Hey, who are you to provide glasses? You're not a doctor. You've grown up and lived in my village the whole life. And right next door, you didn't move to the capital and go to school for long periods of time." So we had to create credibility for this new system, this new way of distributing glasses. So at first we would give people ID cards and training certificates so that way they could prove that they had been trained by us, lab coats, right, to give the credibility of a community health worker. We also put banners outside their home that would say, like, "Vision advisor in training." And we believe, even though the training would take less than a month, we'd leave it up there for 6 months so that way the community would get comfortable with it. And then we'd replace it with just the official vision advisor sign. So it was a lot of these, it was a very entrepreneurial experience for me. I worked at this nonprofit Vision Spring under Dr. Jordan Castle for about 5 years before going to Wharton. It was a lot of those experiences that led to, that I would bring to the conversations that Jeff, Andy, Dave, and I were having. One of the things that had to do was source glasses. I would go to some of the factories, and here I was sourcing glasses for people living on less than $4 a day. And literally 10 feet away on a similar production line, you'd see some of the biggest names in fashion coming off the line, and that they were going to be about to be sold on Madison Avenue. Yet they were being produced in the same factory that I was sourcing glasses to distribute in rural India. You know, this industry has been a bit fuzzy on what it costs to manufacture versus what people have been selling to consumers.
Now, moving to today, Warby Parker is a lifestyle brand. How were you able to get to that where it's a lifestyle brand? I mean, you have companies around for decades that still struggle to get to that incredible plateau. How'd you manage to pull that off?
Yes, I think since day one, we've been really interested in building a company and a brand that offers great products, but also great experiences and adds some depth to the brand. And that goes back to even our name, Warby Parker. It took us 6 months and we went through 2,000 potential names before we settled on Warby Parker and we discovered the name Warby Parker in the New York Public Library. They had an exhibit on Jack Kerouac's private diaries. And there's such a tie between reading and learning and glasses. And given kind of the heritage that we have, we feel that our brand really represents a literary life well lived, and a lot of the components of our brand stand for fun, creativity, doing good in the world, and we've tried to just think about different ways that we could engage with our customers and local communities to bring some of those elements to life, and sometimes that's through product collaborations. A recent one that we launched was with the Robert Rauschenberg Foundation. And he's always been one of our favorite artists, a cultural pillar. But he was also just a really interesting activist and used his art as a platform to make the world better. So we created an interesting collection of glasses based on some of his art in conjunction with a retrospective that the MoMA is doing on his work. And our glasses are actually being sold through some of the MoMA stores. And a lot of the proceeds then will go through his foundation
in providing grants for upcoming emerging artists. And so I think that's just one example of kind of how we think about bringing our brand to life in different ways. But we also will put on concerts. We've published books that will sell through our stores. If you walk into any of our stores, you'll find our glasses displayed on library shelving. We have partnerships with 14 different independent publishers, and we actually sell those books in our stores. We've wanted to make sure that we have a brand and that isn't just providing great glasses for people. We want to make sure that we're doing that as well. But that we have kind of interesting dimensionality to the brand that that makes sure that we're top of mind for our customers, that creates interesting conversations, but also hopefully inspires our customers and local communities and other businesses to think about how they can use for-profit businesses and brands to do interesting and impactful work around the globe.
Wow. So I think it's pretty well known that Warby Parker has a really fun and unique culture. Can you describe it to us a little?
Sure. I think, you know, Warby Parker as a brand stands for fun, creativity, and doing good in the world. I think the folks that come to work at Warby Parker sort of subscribe to that notion. And one of our core values is to inject fun and quirkiness into everything that we do. So when you join Warby Parker, at your desk is a balloon. That's a bright blue balloon for Warby Blue. It says, "Nice to meet you." And it's actually a cartoon steak with a pair of glasses on it. And meat is spelled M-E-A-T. So just, you know, trying to do things a little fun and different. On your desk, there's a copy of Dharma Bums by Jack Kerouac, because that's where the name Warby Parker comes from, is two early Jack Kerouac characters. You get a bookmark, which has the history of Warby Parker. We spend about a week onboarding new employees so they understand what Warby Parker is, how we operate, but also why we do what we do. I think we believe that if people understand our vision, where we're going, our North Star, if they understand our core values, sort of how we are operate and how what should govern our behavior, then they should always be able to make an informed, good decision as an employee here. So we try to spend a lot of time, you know, reiterating the Warby Parker culture. And ultimately, you know, what is culture generally, right? Culture is shared beliefs and shared rituals. So, you know, Warby Parker, our shared beliefs are our core values, and our rituals, our shared rituals, are traditions that we've had to create over the last 7 years, like that onboarding and what is sitting on your desk when you arrive on your very first day.
My guest this evening, none other than the founders of Warby Parker, Neil Blumenthal and David Gilboa. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Are you applying for Medicaid and need assistance? Are you thinking about putting a loved one in a nursing home and require guidance? Call Senior Planning Services at 516-500-SENIORS or visit senior-planning.com to get the help you need by the professionals you trust. Their expert advice will save you money, time, and frustration. Call 516-500-7364 or visit senior-planning.com. Applying for Medicaid is made simple with Senior Planning Services. Call 516-500-SENIORS. That's 516-500-7364. Or visit senior-planning.com for a free consultation.
Come join the most trusted business network for executives, the C-Suite Network. If you're a business of $5 million or greater, or your position is VP or higher, you're invited to join the C-Suite Network to connect with business peers. Go to csuitenetwork.com. That is csuitenetwork.com to learn more about the benefits, meetings, and services exclusive for C-suite executives like you.
Your company website is crucial to your success, providing information about your company to the entire world. Was your website recently updated? Is it mobile friendly? Well, look no further than websitewithbrains.com, the complete website solution. Call Website with Brains today at 718-412-3500. That's 718-412-3500. Or visit websitewithbrains.com.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yusuf Saftlis right here on 77 WABC and around the world at WABCBizRadio.com. Well, for those of you that are just tuning in now, how sad? Well, I shouldn't put it like that. By Tuesday following the airing of the show, it will be up on the iTunes channel, Audio Boom. It's there if you go to WABCBizRadio.com, like all the past guests. What about the one we had with Captain Sully Sullenberger? That's also up there. They're all there, and this one is no different, because who are my guests this evening? None other than the founders of Warby Parker, Neil Blumenthal and David Gilboa. Again, thank you so much for taking of your incredibly precious time. I mean, running this massive company. Wow. Where do we start in the remaining minutes? The prescription check app. I just saw that on Twitter. What is that all about?
Yes, it's a new iPhone app that we launched that lets people update their prescriptions without physically going into an eye doctor's office. And so you can download an app if you're eligible, if you're between 18 and 40 and your prescription hasn't changed. You can go through a series of steps on your computer using this app, and a licensed ophthalmologist will review the results and write a new prescription for you. Or if they notice that something with your vision has changed, they'll recommend that you go for an in-person exam.
So I just have to repeat this because it sounds too good to be true. So I want to just make sure. That means a person, let's say, like you said, the age is, you know, up to 40, or let's say someone is very comfortable, they're 45, they're comfortable with their prescription as is, but they have no idea what the actual prescription is and they're too uncomfortable now to call the doctor. You have a way of solving that.
Yes. So right now, and it's only for people that are between ages of 18 to 40. If you fall outside of that range, we have a number of stores in the New York area, many of our stores have optometrists where you can make appointments and come in for an in-person comprehensive eye health exam. But if you fall between the ages of 18 and 40 and you see well out of your existing glasses, you can download an app, go through a vision test at home, and we'll have an ophthalmologist review those results, and they can write you a new prescription remotely.
Wow. Now, I mean, this is the next question is something that every successful company that's in retail has to deal with, and that is the Amazon threat. How does Warby Parker, now, of course, you've built up such an incredible culture, so you have, zombie loyalists. We actually had on the show, the one that wrote the book, Peter Shankman. But you have zombie loyalists, what can we say? But still, Amazon is always a threat. How does Warby Parker deal with that?
Well, I think it's one of the reasons why we developed our own brand. Right, you can only buy Warby Parker glasses at Warby Parker stores or on warbyparker.com or on the Warby Parker app. So that's one way where we erect barriers to entry. You know, thankfully, Amazon is currently not in the prescription eyewear business. They do sell sunglasses, and obviously, we sell sunglasses as well. I think that every business on the planet should be somewhat afraid of Amazon. But more importantly, they should learn from Amazon. And what do they do so well? They get things to you in as convenient a manner as humanly possible. And I think all retailers need to be thinking about the experience holistically. It's a reason why you see so many retailers struggling is because they're not delivering value to their customers, right? If you can get something cheaper, faster, and easier from somebody else like Amazon, you're going to go to that. So at Warby Parker, right, it's one of the reasons why we measure Net Promoter Score so religiously, right, that measure of customer satisfaction and how we have a best-in-class score. It is orders of magnitude higher than our peers in the optical industry. It's one of the reasons why we launched our Home Try-On program. It's one of the reasons why we've opened up now 51 stores across the country. It's one of the reasons why we launched our iPhone app that allows people to, you know, figure out their prescription. It's because we were getting customer feedback that their prescription had expired. It was difficult for them to take off time of work to go to the doctor's office. We're constantly thinking about the holistic customer journey and how do we make that better and easier for our customers.
Now, I just moving along, I see here that you're now selling monocles. Now, I mean, we all know, who is it, that Teddy Roosevelt wore them, or you go back in time a little bit. You guys are cool, cutting edge. You're selling monocles?
we actually have been selling them since we launched. Our first collection had 27 styles of glasses and a monocle. You know, one of our core values is inject fun and quirkiness into everything we do. Mm-hmm. And we recognize that what we're trying to accomplish requires a tremendous amount of work. And we feel like there's a huge opportunity in front of us. But we want to make sure that we're having fun along the way. And we want to make sure that kind of our team is having fun internally on a daily basis, but also that we can have fun with our customers. And while we certainly have some customers that have legitimate reasons for buying a monocle, there are also others that just buy it just for fun. We're more than comfortable with that.
Now, on your website, you have the story about the name Warby Parker. My question is, when you come up with such a creative name, I'm sure there are doubts. You think about it, overthink it. You ask buddies. When you came up, it's there on the website. But was there any moments where you're like, was this really the right name? And then, what made you like stick to it? Guys, this is the name. We're running with it. What tips would you share on that?
I think it's just a combination of art and science. We learned about the two characters, Warby Pepper and Zag Parker, right. It was from when Dave was visiting an exhibit on Kerouac at the New York Public Library, the main branch on 42nd and Fifth Avenue. We all had this really positive, visceral reaction. Like, we felt it in our gut that this was... there was something there that was connected to the brand that we were building. And like type A business school students, we wanted to test that and validate it. So we put together a survey. We surveyed a few hundred of our friends. We asked them, do you have a positive, neutral, or negative reaction to the name Warby Parker? Overwhelmingly, we had positive reactions with some neutral, almost no negative. And that's what you hope for, right, in a name, is that, that there's just no negative connotations or impressions. And we also asked, are there any connotations? When you hear this name, what do you think about? And the vast majority of people are like, I don't know, actually. I don't really think of anything, but it sounds familiar, which is like the perfect answer, because it means that we have this blank canvas with which we could, create an impression for Warby Parker. And because some people felt like they heard it already and it sounds familiar, right? There was this baked in credibility even before we launched. There were a few people that said Warburg Pincus, but we chalked that up to us being at Wharton and, people understanding finance probably more than the general public. But we had that validation that this is a name that could work. Of course, we were able to get the URL and trademark it. So it was just, it checked off every single box.
Folks, right? The time goes so fast, especially when you have such great guests. Before we close out the show, I want to turn to Neil Blumenthal, David Gilboa. Of course, thank you so much for joining. First, Neil, what final takeaway would you like to share with the listeners of Mind Your Business?
I think it would be if you're looking to start a business, or even if you're, you know, an entrepreneur within a company, it would just be, take action, try things, but do it in a way that de-risks. I think we've been successful because we've had, you know, big ambitions, but we've been taking baby steps to get there, and we never assume too much risk that, you know, feels like we're taking these giant leaps of faith.
Got you. And Dave?
Yeah, I think in the same vein, most businesses tend to fail because they lose focus. And we say that strategy is what we say no to. And even if there are kind of new shiny objects or new opportunities to pursue, most of the time the answer should be no. And should just have a relentless focus on kind of the core mission of the business or the organization, and make sure that every activity, everything that you're doing, is helping you achieve that goal instead of potentially losing that focus.
What incredible advice, folks. It's true. It was Neil Blumenthal and David Gilboa themselves, the founders of Warby Parker, who joined me here on Mind Your Business. Well, that wraps up another great edition of Mind Your Business here on 77 WABC. Tune in again next Sunday evening at 10 p.m. for another great edition of Mind Your Business right here on 77 WABC.
77 WABC Radio presents Mind Your Business, hosted by founder and president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Safliff. Mind Your Business focuses on business and marketing strategies for success. Tune in every Sunday night for this intriguing weekly radio show that's chock full of business insights and marketing strategies that will help you get ahead of the game. Host Yitzhak Safliff has been producing pioneering and creative marketing work for over two decades. He leads a team of marketing experts who help their clients build their brands and grow their businesses. Now, he and his guests offer their business and marketing expertise to you every Sunday night on Mind Your Business.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.